Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Happy Friday, everybody. You know, one way or another, the Cory Booker era is winding down in Newark. He's widely considered a shoo-in for the late Frank Lautenberg's Senate seat, but even if he loses, Newark has a mayoral election set for next spring, and Booker is not running. So whether he wins or loses the October special election, the post-Booker era in Newark appears to be imminent. With us to take a look at what's next for Newark and maybe give us a bit of a premature retrospective of the Booker legacy is David Cruz. He's the North Jersey correspondent for NJ Today on NJTV. You might also recognize him as a sometimes guest host of this program. Hi, David. Welcome back to WNYC.
Buenos dias, Brian. How are you?
Great. So if Booker wins in October, who runs Newark on the next day?
Well, the question is, will he leave before then? And then that opens up a whole can of worms. But
before then, while the election campaign is still going on?
Yeah, there was some talk about him perhaps stepping down in order to run full time for the U.S. Senate, because there are also some political considerations, because he is kind of backing Aníbal Ramos, who is a council member and who is seen by the political establishment, at least the Cory Booker side of that, as his natural successor.
So whether he steps down during the campaign or if he wins the election and goes to Washington, I gather the city council has 30 days to appoint an interim mayor, right?
Right. There is the way it works, according to what the city clerk's office told me, is that the city council president takes over immediately. The problem is that the Newark City Council doesn't have a city council president at the moment. Aníbal Ramos is acting city council president and therefore not, according to the rules now, automatically the successor. And so the council can appoint anybody, a council member or any other Newarker, to be president, to be mayor. If that happens before September 1st, there's a possibility of a special election to fill the unexpired term. If it happens after September 1st, then that person would go to the end of the term, which is June 30th of 14.
That's a mess.
The problem is that there are only 8 council members, and they are equally divided among 2 factions. And so it is unlikely, or at least right now seen as unlikely, that they could agree on anything. And so the possibility exists that they wouldn't appoint anyone. And as a result of that, the city clerk would have to go to a judge and ask the judge for permission to have a special election, which he could only do after that 30-day period has expired. And then he has 45 to 50 days in order to schedule that election. And that could take us to pretty much the holidays. So Merry Christmas.
What a mess. And then there's an election anyway next May, right? The four-year cycle that comes up anyway.
Right. May 14 is the regular mayoral election. And there are already several council members who are lining up for that, including the aforementioned Aníbal Ramos, but also Ross Baraka, the son of Amiri Baraka, Shavar Jeffries, a former assistant attorney general, Darren Sharif, another council member, and even Donald Payne Jr., whose resignation from the council started this whole rigmarole when he went to Congress. But people have been reaching out to him to try and get him to come and run Newark as mayor.
So, listeners in Newark, talk about the Cory Booker legacy. He was such a change from Sharp James, the previous mayor. Was he a change for the better? How would you describe the nature of the change? And who or what do you want next for Newark after the Cory Booker era, after he was such a big presence? Love him, hate him, mixed about him, whatever you are. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for David Cruz from NJTV. Let me just linger a little bit on that nightmare scenario. It sounded like you were laying out something that had no mayor of Newark for an extended period of weeks. Is that correct?
I mean, the way it looks, the way it was explained to me, yeah. And in that case, the city clerk could go to the courts and ask for some sort of immediate relief. I don't know what that relief might be. I don't know who would run the city in the absence of an acting mayor. Maybe the business administrator. I'm not sure at this point. That's a good question.
Well, you mentioned Anibal Ramos as the natural successor to Booker. Tell us about him.
Well, interestingly, he is the first Latino who would be mayor of Newark, and it has touched off something of a cultural divide in this city where Latinos as a population are increasing and African Americans are decreasing in the city of Newark. And this also has to do with ward politics. Anibal Ramos is from the North Ward, which has a lot of large Hispanic population and is growing in Hispanic population. And the East Ward, which is largely Portuguese, Brazilian, and that kind, and Central Americans also moving into that area. And then, so that is the basis of his support, and it is also the basis of what was Cory Booker's support. Anibal Ramos is also seen as the person who would be supported by power broker Steve Adubato Sr., who is also the person who people go to get anointed as the successor, or even Chris Christie went and walked through the North Ward with Steve Adubato Sr., and it was seen as helping his initial election campaign. So that's Anibal Ramos, and his main opponent would be Ras Baraka, who has the biggest name recognition. He's been something of a controversial figure. It's ironic because all of these guys have kind of, except for Anibal Ramos, have kind of taken their turn as being Booker bashers, but on primary election night, they were all at the big party. So it's, you know.
Walking both sides of the street.
Yeah.
Well, Booker was such a larger-than-life figure in a lot of ways for Newark over these years that I guess the city's politics tended to split along the lines of pro-Booker and anti-Booker factions, some of the people that you mentioned. I want to play a clip of Booker talking about the level of investment that he brought to Newark during his time as mayor. This is from the Democratic primary debate at WBGO just last week.
We even reached across the aisle and found a way to bring even Chris Christie in to find ways that one of the narrow areas we agreed to do something. And what has that resulted in? In Newark, New Jersey, we are 3% of the state's population, but over 33% of all the development in New Jersey is going on in Newark in commercial and multifamily development. That's the experience I bring to Washington.
You know, David, people's eyes glaze over when they hear stats, but if true, that is an astounding statistic. More than one-third of New Jersey's development taking place in Newark, that would be an awfully big number for such a densely populated state with so many industrial and commercial and professional areas. A third of all the development in the state taking place in Newark. Can you fact check that for us?
Well, he qualifies it by saying that it's multifamily and commercial. So you don't really see it as much as it sounds. I think it's also a question of scale. For instance, Panasonic is bringing a corporate headquarters to Newark, and they're going to bring several hundred employees over. And the mayor says, well, those are new jobs for Newarkers. Well, they're really not, because Panasonic is bringing their own people over. Who were working for them in Sea Caucus. And so there will be X number of 100 new jobs in Newark, but they're not new jobs for Newarkers, which is, you know, a fine point that a lot of people make about the mayor's claims and that sort of thing.
Newarkers, what has changed in these years with Cory Booker as mayor? And what do you want to come next? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-WNYC. 9692. Can I go to Manuel? Here we are. Manuel in Newark. You're on WNYC. Hi, Manuel.
Hi. I just want to, with your guest, the politics of the North is being run by the North Ward boss. Everybody knows who he is. His son used to be a reporter to you. And it's not going to change. The Oprah gave $500,000 gift to the Booker Terry, went right to his daughter's charter school with no even bidding. I mean, the whole North politics is a joke.
Well, first of all, I think you're confusing David Cruz with Steve Adubato, who he's not. But what about the politics that the caller is talking about?
I'm not sure what the point is. Is it highly political? Do people run their electoral hopes through the North Ward and the power boss we referred to, I also referred to before, Steve Arbaro Sr.? Yes, they do, absolutely. Does he control all of it? I think frequently he does. I don't know that he does entirely. I think that this election coming up for mayor in 14 will tell the tale a lot about that, because there is a concerted effort on the part of what remains of the Sharp James establishment of politics in Newark, who want to make this kind of last stand against Steve Arbaro Sr. In the person of Ross Baraka. And so the way it looks right now, it'll be Ross Baraka versus Anibal Ramos as the major opponents here, with Ross Baraka representing what's left of that political establishment and Anibal Ramos backed by Steve Arbaro Sr.
How about your brief evaluation of the Cory Booker era as a reporter? His supporters say he's dramatically improved the city for the better economically, in terms of crime, in terms of education. He's got his detractors, too, saying he failed to meet his potential and he talks a better game and he travels a better game than he actually governs. What can we say as a matter of fact?
Well, I think the most correct answer is that both of those things are true. There is a sense of Newark as a resurgent city, and that's typified by what's happening downtown most visually. New bars, the arena, restaurants, some housing development, and a sense that the city is in action. You have more of an opportunity to do stuff at night in the city of Newark downtown, which is something that, you know, most cities take for granted. But in Newark, it's a big thing to be able to have nightlife in downtown Newark. Now, the rest of the city, away from downtown, that is where there's always the question of, you know, what is your legacy here? Have there been improvements? Yes, some. Is a grocery store in a part of town that didn't have a grocery store an improvement? Yes. But is the murder rate significantly different? Is the crime rate significantly different? Probably not. It depends on how you measure it, and Booker has measured it sometimes, you know, basing the numbers on the first 3 years of his administration and then the last 3 years of his administration when it serves a particular purpose. But by and large, the perception of Newark is that our city is not any worse than it was. But is it considerably better? And I'm shrugging my shoulders.
If Booker loses the Senate election, could he still run for re-election?
He could theoretically, but he wouldn't have. He wouldn't probably qualify because he didn't file petitions in time and so on. But if Booker loses for Senate, he's got to have a long period of self-evaluation, wondering why he's not the U.S. senator from the state of New Jersey.
Let's take another call. Masail, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling in.
I think one of the biggest challenges for the new mayor should be. You see, North New Jersey is an urban platform, and I think that a lot of the focus is it. I've seen that a lot of the focus is in the downtown area. You drive down through Broad Street, and you'll see a lot of new developments, a lot of actions. But you go more into the inner city, the state seems to still be the same. So I think the challenge for the new mayor is just that he needs to be able to focus on areas that truly need to be developed, especially in, in the project areas, in the areas that are not just commercialized.
Masail, thank you very much. And to that point, David, what brings a Panasonic to the city of Newark? What brings Audible to set up shop in Newark? If it's a city still with a reputation of such high crime and not all that much to do, what brings these companies in?
Part of it, you could say, is Cory Booker. His image nationally is so brilliant that people want to be associated with it. But also for a Panasonic and a Manischewitz and an Audible is massive state tax incentives that allow you to come and pay little or no tax and get money from the state in grants and low-interest loans that make it worthwhile for a Panasonic to come and build a tower right across the street from Penn Station. And, for someone to do that, you've got to have some real incentives to do that. And that's a lot of what happens in Newark. It happened during the Sharpe-James administration as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you were to measure economic activity during the Sharpe-James administration, economic activity during the Cory Booker administration, you would probably find that they are comparable. You know, the mayor takes credit, and I don't want to sound like a Cory Booker critic or anything. I'm just saying the mayor takes credit, for instance, or basks in the glory of the arena, but he was against it before he was for it. And so, I mean, that's just what mayors do, right? But
so is the main difference between Booker and James one of tone rather than substance?
No, I would have to say substance has a lot to do with it. I mean, the mayor is, you know, he's a superior intellect. He is a worldly individual whose educational background is so varied that he brings a totally new perspective to this game, especially in a state like New Jersey, a city like Newark. He's a different kind of guy, no doubt about it. But the realities of being a mayor of a large city or the largest city in New Jersey is that you got to do things that, you know, don't necessarily aren't necessarily the smartest things to do, but they are politically expedient. So, you know, he's been a transforming person as Cory Booker, the person. But as a mayor, he's been like most big city mayors, some good and some bad.
David Cruz from NJTV. And David, I don't know if you heard the report on our newscast at the top of the hour from Sarah Gonzalez of New Jersey Public Radio talking about stop and frisk in Newark and some of the stats that are out, including one that seemed to indicate they had a higher percentage of stopping people who actually wound up getting arrested or ticketed for something than New York City does. It was about a quarter of those stopped and frisked in Newark did wind up being arrested or ticketed. In New York, it's only half that rate. It's about 12%, and that's one of the reasons that it was declared unconstitutional in a federal court this week. Do you have any sense of a comparison between stop and frisk as it's practiced in Newark and how it's practiced in New York?
I can't say that I do, Brian. In fact, after I get off the phone with you, I'm on my way to meet with Director DeMayo to talk about all of that.
Well, interesting stuff. Oh, I'll sneak in one more phone call here. Bill in Newark, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Well, I think Cory Booker is, in fact, a very intelligent individual and has a lot of potential, but he has a lot to learn. He needs to learn to listen to the people as opposed to the insiders. I am one of five petitioners that was put an ordinance before the city council called Save Our Water Ordinance, which, by the way, was voted in favor of 6-0 by the city council. Subsequently, constables were at my doorstep at 6:30 in the morning serving me and the other committee of petitioners with papers to appear in court. And it ended up to be a long battle, which and the results are still.
And so what's your conclusion about Mayor Booker as a result?
My conclusion is he has a lot of potential in the future, but you know, he has a checkered past as far as management skills.
Bill, thank you. One last word on that, David, and then we're out of time.
Yeah, I think that kind of sums up a lot about what some people think about Cory Booker when they detract from his legacy, is that he's going to be Senate is a perfect job for him because he doesn't have to actually run anything. When you've got to run a large city and a city with the history of Newark and the difficulties of Newark, it's a hard job, man. And no matter how good you are, Rhodes Scholar or not, you're always going to be criticized. When you're a senator, all you've got to do is kind of say, this is where I am and this is where I stand for, and then, you know, work for legislation and all of that. But you don't have to manage a city of, you know, 275,000 people.
David Cruz, North Jersey correspondent for NJ Today on NJTV. David, thanks a lot.
My pleasure. See you soon.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, not much noticed with the chaos in Egypt. New peace negotiations beginning between Israelis and Palestinians. We'll talk about both situations with David Sanger, chief correspondent for the New York Times, next.